40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's stand up and climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sunny.
Nnamdi Saturday night, Miguel Cotto from Puerto Rico goes up against Saul Canelo Alvarez from Mexico in a highly anticipated bout, maybe the best fight of 2015. But we had controversy even before these guys get in the ring, Nnamdi. The World Boxing Council strips Cotto of his middleweight title belt. Talk about that to our VOA boxing fans.
Well, Sonny, this is all about sanctioning fees. They said he's disregarding other rules and regulations. Well, this is what it boils down to. WBC World Boxing Council wants Cotto to pay $300,000 sanctioning fee. Mind you, Canelo has already paid his $300,000. And on top of that, WBC also wants Cotto to pay $800,000 to Gennady Golovkin, Triple G, for the step-aside money. So when you add $300,000 plus $800,000, you're looking at $1.1 million.
Well, where do we stand in terms of the championship caliber of this fight, Nnamdi? Is it a title fight?
Oh, it's a title fight, regardless of what WBC says. I mean, it's for the Ring Magazine middleweight title of the world. And seriously, Sonny, you don't blame Miguel Cotto, because some fight fans look at this more like extortion, you know.
A shakedown,
because if you really take a close look at it, WBC has close to four champions in each division. You have your regular champion, you have your super champion, you have your interim champion, you have your champion. And you also should understand that each of these title fights, they get a sanctioning fee. Not to talk about the continental fight champions, the international champions.
So there's a lot of title belts out there.
Yeah. It's more like the belts you have in your closet, Sonny. And guess what Miguel Cotto said? Listen to this. I have enough belts in my house, and with the money I saved, I can buy any belt I want. I can be the champion of whatever I want in my house. And believe it, he's a grand poobah in his house.
Nnamdi, talk about the promotion for this fight. Has it been good?
Sonny, Saturday night, we have a great fight. I mean, two warriors that will go toe-to-toe. I mean, look at rivalry between Mexico and Puerto Rico. And on this both sides, you have Jay-Z, the multi-million dollar hip-hop mogul, and Oscar De La Hoya. Oscar De La Hoya has been doing a lot for this promotion, but Jay-Z has not sent out one single tweet to his 10 million followers, you know. Beyonce has not said anything about this fight, so.
Maybe she needs to start singing about this fight, huh?
She needs to step up to the to the mic and do a tune for this fight, because.
In terms of watching this fight, I understand you can watch it in movie theaters here in the U.S.?
Yes, you go to the movie theater, you spend $25 to watch it on the big screen, and it's like you are in Las Vegas. It's beautiful to watch a fight with fight fans in a movie theater with the surround sound and all. Yes, it's great. And I even prefer that, the movie theater, than the pay-per-view in the house.
Two of the biggest Hispanic stars in boxing, Nnamdi. Do you see the Latino crowd coming out for this big bout?
Oh, Sonny, Canelo is the number one superstar in Mexico today. The Mexicans are the number one fans. They've come out in huge numbers. And you talk about Puerto Ricans also. I mean, boxing is the number one sport in Puerto Rico. So we're looking at a huge number. But you need to do right promotion to reach this crowd.
Namdi, you talk about huge numbers. Will there be huge numbers in terms of the pay-per-views?
Good question, Sonny, because you remember we had a bad fight in the month of May. Manny Pacquiao against Floyd Mayweather, and people paid $100 to see this fight, and people felt ripped off. And after that fight, the next pay-per-view was Gennady Golovkin, Triple G, with some guy from Canada, Daniel Lemieux. And that fight only did 150,000. So fight fans kind of backed away because of they felt ripped off from the Mayweather fight. For this fight, we don't know. They're projecting $1 million. $1 million at $80, that's still a big chunk of change.
Namdi, two sluggers who both like to come forward. Do you see the fight going the distance?
Sonny, it's a 50-50 fight, which means it's anybody's fight. The fight can go a distance if Miguel Cotto decides just to touch and go, hit and move, slide, and all that stuff. But if Miguel Cotto decides to stay and fight a macho fight, Saul Canelo Alvarez is a great puncher. He's younger, he's strong, and he's very smart. He will not. He has the ability to take out Cotto in the later part of the fight.
Miguel Cotto recently decided to go with Freddie Roach, the Hall of Fame boxing trainer, Namdi. Do you see Cotto's skills improving since he hired Freddie Roach as his trainer?
Well, this is their fourth fight, you know, with Freddie Roach. If you go back and look at the opponents he fought, they were okay, but they're not in the same class with Canelo. This is the first time he's going to tangle with a tiger that will come and sit in front of him and really, really take him out with some deadly body blows.
Namdi, you mentioned Triple G, Gennady Golovkin. Would he fight the winner?
When Cotto said, forget WBC with that $1.1 million, he's not obligated to fight Triple G anymore because he refused to pay that $800,000 step-aside money. And he refused to pay the $300,000 sanction fee. So there's really no need for Cotto to fight Golovkin. But guess this. If Cotto wins Saturday night, look for Floyd Mayweather to come out of retirement.
And fight Cotto again?
And fight Cotto again for the middleweight title, and that's going to be a record. That's possible. That's hey, Mayweather is a smart businessman. He's just kicking back, looking at the situation. He'll be at the fight Saturday night.
Would he fight Canelo again if Canelo wins?
No, he won't fight Canelo again because makes no sense at all. He beat Canelo easy the first time. What happens Saturday night will determine the way forward for Floyd Mayweather. If Cotto knocks out Canelo in an explosive fight and everybody says, oh, Cotto is back, expect announcement from Floyd Mayweather that he will take on a rematch with Cotto.
Namdi, Triple G, you know, you mentioned those poor pay-per-view numbers. Skills aside, do you see Cotto and Canelo as being bigger stars than Triple G at this point?
Oh, it depends on what happens Saturday night. If Canelo destroys Cotto, I mean, take him out completely with some deadly uppercuts, left hooks to the body, really wear him down and knock him out, an explosive fight. Yeah, because Canelo has the big Mexican population behind him. If Cotto wins, we'll say, oh, Cotto is back. Don't forget, Cotto is a warrior. He's a fighter. He likes to fight. He stands and he will fight. It depends on what happens Saturday night.
Namdi, how about an update for African fighters in the ring?
Sonny, it's not been good for the boys, man. And I would say 2015 has been a really bad one for African boxers here in the boxing mecca of the world. Latif Pawakaya, they just went to Russia and got really beat down, really knocked out by Denis Lebedev for the WBA Cruiserweight Championship. I mean, he had Latif on the floor three times and on the ropes, and the referee had to save Power in the seventh round. You know? Power had no Agbara at all. Power had no Agbara. He was on the ropes, and the referee had to bail him out. That was in Russia. Then we had the Cameroonian heavyweight that was robbed three times on national TV, Sonny. I'm talking about Fred Cassie from Douala. He lost to Chris Ariola and Dennis Barzani, all on national TV Saturday afternoon, and everybody felt that he got robbed. That was another one. But the biggest one, Sonny, man, the biggest shocker for all we African boxing aficionados here in the U.S. is General Okunka from Ghana, Frederick Lawson, undefeated, winning against Kevin Bezier from Canada. And he got stopped in the 10th round with a broken jaw and found himself on the floor. And in his corner, guess who's in his corner? Abe Sanchez, the trainer of Triple G. It was a great fight, toe-to-toe, but and homeboy from Accra really put up a good fight. But at the end of it, world-ranked African in the welterweight division, the money division, being stopped in the 10th round with a broken jaw. That was really, really bad.
Finally, Namdi, do you see Cotto Canelo capping the boxing excitement for 2015?
Two things could happen, Sonny. It could be a very boring fight with Cotto that decide just to move. Go back and look at Canelo, Floyd Mayweather. That was a boring fight, you know, because Mayweather was able to, like, move and make it look easy. Cotto can do that. But if Canelo is able to cut out the ring, pressure him from the beginning, stay in the bodies, take away the legs with those body shots, yeah, we see Canelo knocking out Cotto and with an explosive knockout in the later part of the fight, that will cap the year 2015.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta.
Galala! Great show, bro.
In National Basketball Association news, the undefeated, red-hot, and defending champion Golden State Warriors are on a victorious start to the new season. The Warriors won their 13th consecutive game Thursday night, defeating the host Los Angeles Clippers 124-117. Sharp-shooting guard Stephen Curry fired in 40 points for the Warriors, while backcourt partner Klay Thompson added 25. The Warriors have two players with ties to Nigeria. Backup center Festus Ezeli is from Benin City, Nigeria, while swingman Andre Iguodala's father is Nigerian. The Warriors beat LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA Finals in June, and they definitely look ready to defend their title right now.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the sunny side of sports right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting spotty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Our African football guru, David Legg, is looking, in alphabetical order, at the 20 teams through to the final round of African qualifying for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. David says he surprised Libya advance by beating Rwanda.
It's just as well, Sonny, I'm not a betting man, because I would have lost some money on this one. Rwanda have been a much improved side recently under their young, he's only 30, coach from Ireland, Johnny McKinstry. And I thought they would have the edge over the Libyans, especially as the Libyans, there's a lot of violence in the country at the moment, and they're not allowed to stage matches there. So they had to play in Tunisia, did build a 1-0 lead, but nevertheless, one believed that the Rwandans could overcome that in Kigali. But unfortunately for them, they fell behind, equalized in first half stoppage time, fell behind again early in the second half, and that, I guess, spelt doom and gloom for the Rwandans. Because now at 2-1 down, they had to score another 3 goals under the away goal rule. But instead, they didn't score, and the Libyans got another goal at stoppage time. A really impressive performance up by the Mediterranean Knights, as the Libyans are known these days. 3-1 away victory, 4-1 in aggregate. And interestingly, Sonny, they are the lowest ranked at 33 of the 20 qualifiers for the third round.
Next up, David, Mali. The Eagles of Mali beat Botswana 2-0 and advance on a 3-2 aggregate. Your thoughts on the Malians, David?
Predictable results, Sonny. Botswana did well in the first leg to build a 2-goal lead, but then conceded a goal. And I always felt that the fact that they had conceded that goal in a 2-1 victory was going to cost them over 2 legs. And that's exactly as it turned out. Diabate converted a penalty after 10 minutes for the Malians. Sacco, after 30 minutes, made it 2-0. The Malians then were in a comfortable position. Botswana, not a strong team away from home. Nevertheless, Sonny, the Malian coach, Alain Gires, he'd probably be a little bit concerned at a 3-2 aggregate victory. I think he probably expected a little bit more. The last time Mali and Botswana met was in a Cup of Nations qualifier. And on that occasion, the aggregate score was 7-1 for the Eagles. I suspect that Botswana have improved a little bit since. I also suspect that Mali have gone a little bit backwards since. And at this stage, Sonny, the Malians not really looking like likely qualifiers for Russia.
Morocco, the Atlas Lions of Morocco, lose to Equatorial Guinea 1-0. However, they win and advance on a 2-1 aggregate. And again, David, I remember you informing our VOA football fans that from a Nations Cup hosting perspective, this series had a lot of interest.
Yes, Sonny, because Morocco were the original 2015 Cup of Nations hosts, but concerned about the Ebola epidemic and the fact that supporters could bring it into the country, they pulled out. And at the last minute, to their credit, Equatorial Guinea took over and in fact ran a generally successful tournament. This one was always going to be close. The seeded team were actually Equatorial Guinea, but I seem to remember saying that the Moroccans would have a slight edge, and that's exactly what happened. The Moroccans built a 2-0 first leg lead, but they fell behind early in the second leg in Bata after just 14 minutes. Scored for the Equatorial Guineans, and there were obviously a lot of anxious moments thereafter for the Moroccans. Moroccan Sonny, they've got a bit of catching up to do. I mean, they've qualified for the World Cup 4 times, but the last time they made it was way back in 1998. And at this stage, they'll be competitive, they'll be challengers, but you have to say, perhaps not quite at the same level at this point as the likes of Ivory Coast, Ghana, etc.
Nigeria and our many VOA listeners in Africa's most populous country breathing a little easier this evening. The Super Eagles beat Swaziland 2-0 in Port Harcourt and advance on a 2-0 aggregate. Your thoughts on the Super Eagles, David?
They are breathing easier, Sonny, but boy, they were breathing heavily for a long time in Port Harcourt because it took 87 minutes. That's just 3 minutes from full time before F.A. Ambrose got the second goal. He side-footed very nicely, a free kick into the net. But this was not a particularly impressive performance by the Super Eagles. In fact, Super Eagles, that phrase, a little bit of a misnomer. The Nigerians were fine for two-thirds of the pitch, but in the final third, and that seems to be becoming more of a problem for the Nigerian national team. Poor finishing, Sonny. They had say, two or three good chances in the first half that they didn't put away. And it took an exquisite free kick from Moses Simon after 51 minutes to give them the lead. A really good goal. Now, you must remember, Swaziland, pretty limited side, and they showed very little threat going forward. But 7 minutes from the end, a dipping shot from well outside the penalty area was brilliantly tipped over by the Nigerian goalkeeper, Carl Ikemi. And had that gone into the net, it would have been 1-1, and Swaziland would have been ahead on the away goals rule. Instead, Ambrose got that second goal, but not, Sonny, a particularly impressive performance by the Nigerians, who also were held 0-0 away in the first leg. I've said this about a few other teams, and I think it applies to the Nigerians as well. They're going to have to up their game a bit if they've got ambitions of getting to Russia for the 2018 World Cup.
Next up, David, Senegal, quarterfinalist at the 2002 World Cup. The Senegalese beat Madagascar 3-0 and advance on a 5-2 aggregate. Your thoughts on the Senegalese, David?
Madagascar, Sonny, were one of three teams. The others were Botswana and Tanzania, who had two goal first leg leads and blew them. Madagascar finishing 2-2 with Senegal in Antananarivo. And that basically was the end of that tie. So it turned out, the Senegalese scoring at regular intervals, once after 15 minutes, another after 53, and then a late goal from Diouf, who plays for Stoke City in England. So an altogether predictable result. And Senegal, comfortable winners. And they could be there or thereabouts, Sonny, come the group stage. A strong side. They've got a lot of potent attacking force. They've got, of course, Sadio Mane of Southampton. And we could very soon be saying Sadio Mane of Manchester United, because apparently he's the top target of Louis van Gaal, the boss at Old Trafford for the January transfer window. So they'll be pretty pleased, a pretty predictable result. As I said, the Malagasy basically blew it by losing that two-goal lead in the first leg.
Next up, David, South Africa. They beat Angola 1-0, and they advance on a 4-1 aggregate. Your thoughts on Bafana Bafana, David?
Good first leg performance, Sonny. When you remember that Angola went into that match in Benguela with a 25-match unbeaten home record in World Cup qualifiers. In fact, the only team that had previously won in Angola were Cameroon. That was in a 1990 eliminator. So to win 3-1 away was a good result. And the South Africans tried very hard to woo fans to Moses Mabhida Stadium in Durban. They were reasonably successful. I would estimate a crowd of about 20,000 turned up, but not a great game. The Angolans simply weren't good enough going forward, and remembering that they had to score a minimum of 3 goals to salvage the tie. But South Africa were not much better, and the only goal, not surprisingly, was an own goal midway through the second half from Manucho Diniz. South Africa, Sonny, I don't see them as potential qualifiers at this stage, but there's another year before the group stage begins, and a lot can change in the meantime. The concern, though, for them is that they are likely to be in the among the bottom seeds when the draw is made on a date yet to be announced. And I've been looking at some scenarios for the South Africans. The worst, I believe, could be the likes of Ivory Coast, Tunisia and Nigeria in the same group as South Africa. And if that happens, I'm not giving too much hope to Bafana Bafana making it all the way to Russia.
Tunisia, the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia beat Mauritania 2-1 and advance on a 4-2 aggregate. Your thoughts on the Tunisians, David?
Tunisia, Sonny, in the same boat as the South Africans. They'd already won 2-1 in Mauritania, which was a good result because Mauritania recently beat South Africa 3-1 in knockout, and they're certainly among the improving sides in African football. But the Tunisians, I think, must have known that basically the tie was done and dusted ahead of the second leg. But nevertheless, they went in front, the Mauritanians equalized, and then the Tunisians roused themselves again to score a winner 6 minutes from time. In a way, Sonny, a moral victory, I think, this tie for the Mauritanians. 4-2 is not an embarrassment. And I think 5-6 years ago, it could have been more like 6 or 7 goal margin between the two teams. So we'll keep an eye on the Mauritanians up there in Northwest Africa. They're an improving side. They're not yet good enough to beat the top boys. But if they continue to improve as they have been, I can see them troubling the Ghanas and the Ivory Coast in knockshot in, say, 4-5 years' time. So a side to watch, Mauritania.
David, my Ugandan colleague, Douglas Mpuga, dancing into the office after this result. The Cranes of Uganda beat Togo 3-0 and advance on a 4-0 aggregate. How about some details for Douglas and all those fans of the Cranes?
Well, let's give Douglas some good news and a little bit of bad news. I mean, let's start with the good news. The good news is that Uganda have certainly laid the Togolese bogey. If you remember in the last Cup of Nations, it was Togo who won 1-0 in Kampala and 1-0 in Lome and basically stopped Uganda qualifying for the finals. Now, the tables have been decisively turned. 1-0 in Lome for Uganda and 3-0 at home. So that's the first bit of good news, certainly. The second is, I think that Uganda have found a real star, and he's only 17 years of age. His name is Farouk Mia. He's a midfielder, and he doesn't mess around, this guy. You know, one of the faults sometimes of African footballers, they want to walk the ball into the net. Mia, when he gets a half chance on it, he just hammers that ball, and that's what he did against the Togolese. Not once, but twice in the first half. Two great goals. Jeffrey Massa, the Ugandan captain, had given the Cranes the lead. So by halftime, it was all over. 3-0 ahead, 4-0 ahead on aggregate. Now the bad news, Sonny. The Togolese side were awful. They were poor in Lome, and they were worse in Kampala. So while the Ugandans must celebrate a really good victory, 4-0 on aggregate, they mustn't get carried away, Sonny, because they're going to meet much stronger opposition in the group stage. But nevertheless, it's great for Ugandan football. And also a big salute to Ugandan football supporters. They packed out the Nelson Mandela National Stadium just outside Kampala. The capacity is about 40,000. I didn't see any spare seats there, Sonny. So all in all, well done to the Ugandans, but tougher tasks lie ahead. Just a little warning, Sonny, for all our Ugandan listeners.
Finally, David, Zambia, the 2012 Nations Cup champions, beats Sudan 2-0 and advance on a 3-0 aggregate. How about some thoughts on the Chipolopolo, David?
Zambia were average, Sonny, and Sudan were awful. We were able to watch both matches. The Sudanese were clearly in trouble after losing 1-0 at home on an awful pitch. They took the match 550 kilometers north of Khartoum. It's an old African trick just to try and mess around the visiting team. You probably find that the four-hour bus ride took about 8 hours. You also probably find that the air conditioning in the bus was not working, more likely just switched off. Etc. But it just didn't work, Sonny. And the pitch itself was awful. It was full of brown earth patches, little bits of grass here and there. And having won away, I think the Zambians knew that this tie was more or less in the bag. An awful first half in the second leg in Ndola, hardly a chance created by either team. But in the second half, Musonda and then Kalengo, with his second goal of the tie, scored for the Zambians. So a workmanlike victory. But as I said about the Ugandans, Sonny, I think the same applies to the Zambians. They need to improve. There are tougher, in fact, much tougher opponents to come than Sudan.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. I encourage David and all our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Mr. Chung. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.